anticipated. So imagine you're out with your friends. You're out, like, you know, at a party or something, just hanging out by a pool somewhere, and one of your friends just jokingly pushes you into the pool. And it turns out the pool's real shallow where you got pushed in at, and you end up breaking your neck. You end up becoming paralyzed, and instead of being mad at the friend, you decide to forgive them. You decide to continue to be their friend and continue to have them as an important person in their life, in your life. Do you think you'd be able to do the same? Or imagine you lived in a country like Iran, where the execution of an individual who's convicted of murder is run and overseen by the family of the victim. And this includes all pardons. So you're there, you're watching the individual who murdered your loved one, your family member, be prepared to be executed. And instead of letting it be followed through, you get up and you pardon the individual. Do you think we could do the same? Or imagine that you're a landlord and you're going to a property where somebody has left all their stuff there as they were being removed from that property, and you're there, you're cleaning it up, and the owner of the stuff comes back, and you and the owner get into a verbal altercation, and you end up getting pushed back into a wall, hitting your head on the brick wall, and having permanent brain damage. But instead of taking the individual to court and fighting them through court, when this instance gets to court, you decide to take the side of the defense. And you decide to fight for a lesser sentence on the individual and decide that the individual needs to be put through school, needs to go through counseling, and needs to be helped rather than punished. Or imagine that you receive an anonymous email. The email says something along the lines of this: I'm no longer sleeping with or seeing your spouse. I apologize for all the pain and trouble that I've caused. And after reading it, you call your spouse and you figure out that the email is true, is accurate. And instead of instantly deciding that you need to divorce your spouse, you decide to work through it, build your marriage stronger, and grow closer to each other, and forgive them instead of separating ties. These four stories are all stories that I found on the internet of people who were in a terrible situation who forgave somebody, who had all rights and deserved to be mad at the individual forever. But instead of being mad and holding a grudge, and they decided that they are going to forgive that individual and allow them to be forgiven of the sins that they committed against them. I was told a quote the other day that said this: for the Christian, forgiveness is not optional. It is mandatory. For the Christian, forgiveness is not optional. It is mandatory. This is a quote by a woman who grew up in Europe during World War II. She was a Jewish woman at the time. And after surviving and living through the Holocaust, she converted over to Christianity, and then she gave this quote. "For the Christian, forgiveness is not optional, it is mandatory." That got me thinking, is this really true? Is this something that as Christians we need to be better at, is forgiveness? Forgiving somebody for something that they've done against us? And after doing a little bit of research, I found that it is. There's multiple different examples throughout the Bible that show, maybe not directly, but show forgiveness being taught. Genesis chapter 37, Joseph is betrayed by his brothers, and he's sold into slavery, and he ends up in Egypt. If I'm sold into slavery by my family, I feel like you might have a reason to hold a grudge against them. Genesis chapter 41, Joseph ends up becoming the number two man in all of Egypt. We all know this story. Genesis chapter 45, the famine hits that Joseph told Pharaoh about. The famine's there, it's very severe. Joseph's brothers end up coming to him, not knowing it was him, and asking for food, needing supplies in order to survive. Joseph eventually reveals himself to his brothers and brings all of his brothers and his father and everyone to Egypt in order to live so that they can eat and survive together. Could we do the same thing? Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son. The son comes up, goes up to his parents, and says that he wants his inheritance, and he's going out into the world, and he's going to live his life. He gets his things, and he leaves. He ends up losing everything. He realizes that he wronged his family, that he should stay with them, and he realizes that it's better to be a servant in his father's house than it would be in the situation that he was in. So he turns around and he comes back. And in verse 21, the father sees his son from far off and runs to him. There was no anger against the son. The father took fine clothes and put it on him. He took the best of his flock and slaughtered it and prepared a meal for him. The father didn't take this time to be angry and correct his son and scold his son. He took this time to celebrate and forgive his son, the fact that he came back. Could we do the same thing? Peter said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to Peter, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." I like the documentation that Luke, I like Luke's documentation a little bit more of this. It says, Jesus' answer was, "If your brother sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, 'I repent,' forgive him." If your brother sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, "I repent," forgive him. Could we do the same thing? The final example that I'll give this evening is one that we all know very well and we're all very grateful for. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus' words on the cross. Could we do the same thing? Now, most likely, we're never going to get pushed into a pool and end up being paralyzed. We're never going to be a landlord of an area of a property and someone come up and assault us to where we're barely able to function, we'll most likely never be able to pardon somebody for murder. But there are different reasons that we can forgive people. Whether it's your boss being mad at you for something you didn't do, whether it's a coworker, a friend, a sibling doing something to aggravate you, to get you in trouble, just somebody sinning against you, somebody doing you wrong, we always have the opportunity to forgive. We may not ever end up being sold into slavery. We may never be hung on a cross. But we can all fill in that blank with our own situation, with the own reason that we haven't forgiven somebody. Jesus forgives all of us. All of us who have obeyed his word and done what he desires us to do. As the accounts of Matthew and Luke say, if your brother sins against you, forgive him. Let me go back to this quote before we end, before we close this evening. For the Christian, forgiveness is not optional. It is mandatory. For the Christian, forgiveness is not optional. It is mandatory. If there's anyone here this evening who has any desire to come forward and be forgiven of their sins, or asks that, or has any other desire this evening, we ask that you'd please come together, we stand and sing.